Back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to talk about a moment in time that is probably fast approaching. And what's crazy about it is, even though there's several million people on the internet following this moment, I haven't really heard people talk about it much. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it to this Bubbaloo cigar. So for those of you following QAnon, and for those who believe that he's real, and I've been trying to split the hairs of how he could be fake, you know, taking credit for everything that's bad, you know, maybe he's, you know, like he could be a person with some inside knowledge but not be anywhere near the president, and then he plays the other Anons to create the illusion that, like, for instance, the president is getting told what to say in an Easter speech. But I think that we are well beyond, in my opinion, any validation phase. Right? I don't know that the president's Easter speech was written in January, but at the end of January, I believe 23rd or so, someone said, have the president say tip-top and tippy-top in a speech. It's a weird thing to say. Why not hip-hop and hippity-hop if it's Easter, right? It's a rabbit thing. The ancestral connections between evil people that he has exposed has been tremendous. As he professes, there's no evidence of any significant wrongdoing anywhere that is being alleged. But the mass media keeps telling you that a bunch of crimes have been committed. And then the more that we give them opportunities to prove it, they do the exact inverse, don't they? They prove nothing was there. As a matter of fact, what they end up proving is that the party that is running around parading itself as this innocent, good party is the most devious, concentrated, evil party we've ever seen. And this has nothing to do with political bias. I think most of you, I don't know, it's hard because I'm spoiled. You know, I hang out with a bunch of guys, and we don't necessarily ever say that we're Republicans. Sure as hell don't say we're Democrats. We're not liberals. We're not Green Party. We're just constitutionalists. Common law, do no harm. That's what we are. Don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you. And if you need some help, just say so. If I can do it, I will. Hey, even the ice cream man has to make some money. We talk about a pedo-looking business. Jeez. Have you ever seen a... Well, I should put it this way. On average, the ice cream drivers of the ice cream trucks in neighborhoods, you know, deep down inside, they're probably all wonderful people, but God, they all look like fucking creepers, don't they? And that's sort of what this episode's going to be about. Wow, what an irony. What a tie-in there. So this episode is about a moment in time that hopefully is not too far away. I hate to sound like a Christian thinking that Jesus is coming back tomorrow, that the world is ending. This whole thing is happening in phases, and there's going to be hammers dropping on people for different reasons. I believe that the very first legal hammers that are going to drop on people, the very first cuffs that get clicked into place is going to be about treason and sedition. People who have colluded against the United States of America using a pay-for-play model, using money laundering to influence all players, using their status in government to get people high clearances to look at all the communications on Capitol Hill, to raise money and then do nothing with that money in the form of a Haiti rescue effort, selling 25% of the world's uranium to our perceived enemy through a neutral proxy such as Canada, creating a fake dossier bought and paid for with campaign money to make your opponent look so bad that you can open up a FISA warrant, lying to federal judges to do so, leaking memos to create the precedence, to create fake articles to give it even more precedence to lie to FISA judges, conducting illegal surveillance on your political opponent, getting the approval of all said crimes by the President of the United States, whose origin and legacy are both fraudulent. So there'll be this day, hopefully, and it may go in a slow grind. You know, it could be that in one day 100 handcuffs get clicked in place. That's probably how they should do it because of the problems related to telegraphing your intent against others, right? For instance, if you had 10 people that committed a crime and you handcuff one and you say to the other 9, we're coming after you, then the other 9 could do all kinds of things to escape, to obstruct justice, to destroy evidence, to perhaps even in retaliation attack those that would be handcuffing them. You know, it takes time to frame a person, doesn't it? You can't just say, oh gosh, I think I'll just, right here on this show, I'm going to frame one of you watching the show. Instantaneously, I'm done. Doesn't work like that, does it? You got to figure out who can you frame? Who's got anything that's believable? What are you going to do? Are you going to fly where someone lives and stage some props and stuff? You got to put some posts online to get someone in trouble? You have to think framing jobs through. So to cuff the first person and leave 9 super powerful people in place, the 9 people could spend infinite amounts of money with outside help from people including with them to kill you, to frame you. But if you get them all off the streets, especially the brainiacs who are really good at framing people, then you can sleep at night for the first time in a long time. You put them on a big, uncomfortable cargo jet, maybe in a cage, do some Hannibal Lecter-style incarceration so that even though they can look at each other, or maybe they can't, they're blindfolded, just they can't even blink Morse code at each other. You send them to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. And you just begin the process of a military tribunal. Because what you have prepared is phase 2. The public's allowed to see phase 1. I'm handcuffing Hillary Clinton because she smuggled hundreds of millions of dollars she laundered through her Clinton Foundation, a pay-for-play model to award countries like Russia 25% of the United States uranium, over $1 billion worth of arms to Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries, after they donate hundreds of millions to our fund, collecting $2 billion or more from Haiti rescue efforts, but only building 6 houses and getting caught smuggling children out of the country. Not to mention all the laws you broke trying to frame your opponent, because you have to win. Because if you don't win the presidency, the likelihood of these crimes coming out is absolute, which is why these people would be on the plane in the first place. So all the surface crimes that will get these people off the streets are known. It would be the first time in national history that a former first lady has ever been arrested. If they truly upheld the law, it would be the first time that the President of the United States, a former President of the United States, would be arrested. But now we have a dilemma. So we have this first day that would occur. I'm hopeful that justice will be served. I personally can say I have heard the rumors online I have heard things that, if are true, are definitely crimes, and I've heard things that, if are true, need to result in the permanent incarceration of these individuals. And again, as I've heard it communicated to me, and before this event occurred, I knew nothing about what I'm about to say, which is, I was familiar with the fact that there are things you can do to a country, to your own country, that will be construed as treason, a Benedict Arnold kind of situation. And again, the way history is so revised back in that era, I guess that guy was really bad. You know, I've heard rumors that they flipped things around and blamed, you know, person A's crimes on person B. But today we've got tools to verify things. We can actually come to a certainty of proof or belief that we have the proof at a level that is sort of like DNA matching. It is absolute. We know we have proof. But I think it was Lionel Nation that first surfaced this other charge, which is higher than treason. And it's called sedition. And I guess it has a more swift and intense punishment for those who commit it. I still to this day am not exactly sure where it moves from treason to sedition. I wish I could inform you of that. Something I need to look up. You know, when someone tells you something new and it takes you off guard, you're kind of like, oh, I guess I should look that up. Shame on me for making a show and not looking it up. But according to all of the experts, all of the deep military intelligence folks, all the deep attorneys, and let me just take a second here to say, the beauty of what's happening on the internet today is that you have brilliant human beings who have had entire lives, entire careers in these very important professions, commenting on the Q situation, one way or the other. You know, most of them are smart enough not to take a bias. When they start finding out that these things are true, they do take a bias. But then you have someone like the Young Turks, just some blowhards that made themselves famous by going online and creating a channel. No expertise whatsoever in anything related to the problem at hand. Just a big, giant opinion. How they stay in business, man, I don't know. Apparently, there's still enough deluded human beings on the planet. I guess Colbert's got a following. And that's part of what this episode's about. It's, in fact, it's really the bottleneck of what I'm trying to get at here, which is, what happens the day that Phase 1 executes? I love those words, don't you? That sound good. These people are pulled off the streets for being criminals at a treasonistic level and at a sedition level. The world's going to get educated. If any sedition charges are ever pressed, we'll have to all get that word in our vernacular, our lexicon. We're going to have it defined to us. We're going to have to know exactly where it goes from black to white and white to black to define sedition. But regardless, when these individuals go away, senators are going to go away. I think first ladies are going to disappear, at least one. It is potential that a president would disappear, a former president, not the acting president, but the former one. Technically speaking, the mountain of evidence that's going to start unraveling could change the absolute face of this planet. Right? We know that a lot of presidents have been involved with a lot of crimes. Some of them inherited crimes, like, say, a Ronald Reagan inheriting the Iran-Contra situation. His only way of saying, I had nothing to do with this, was to say, I don't recall. But there are still presidents that are alive today who have been involved with probably the most heinous crimes that could be committed outside of this phase two. False flag events that killed hundreds of people, that changed the face of the planet, that put us all under lock and key, that got us more towards a tyrannical, unified government than any other event in history. Once you open up the idea in people's minds that these people are truly corrupt and that we can do something against them, we can incarcerate them, we can put them in jail. Once one goes down, that you thought was impossible? What happens when you think things are impossible and all of a sudden you do it? When they broke the sound barrier. They immediately broke the sound barrier all the time. As Bart Sibrel said, only the moon mission is the only thing that we said we accomplished that we've never accomplished after 50 years. Hence its fakeness. We didn't think we could fly. And then when we had the Wright brothers show us, they actually flew in, 1903? They got the patent in 1907. Then all of a sudden we're flying everywhere. So when you put one deplorable, too big to be jailed piece of shit in jail, maybe even execute them for sedition or treason, then we got to be careful, because there's going to be a tidal wave of these people. There's going to be a mob that will be dragging these people out in the street. They're all going to go into hiding. One by one, someone's going to walk in the room and go, "You." And they're going to scream, "No." And then they're going to be handcuffed. They're going to be pulled away. There'll be trials. And for a lot of these things, you could try it in a public forum, because the information about the crime is palatable. All right, she smuggled a bunch of money. She first sold 25% of our uranium to a Uranium One company in Canada, knowing that that company was now up for grabs by our arch enemy, the Russians. Not only just the Russians, but the president of that country owns that company now. Putin. Who will tell you that Putin is horrible? The Democrats. Who sold him 25%, roughly, of the United States uranium supply? Hillary Clinton, through the State Department. Who approved it? Barack Obama. Awesome. Gotcha, motherfucker. How anyone can still support these people is where we're going to get into the cognitive dissidence and the Kubler-Ross stages that this is going to entail. But before we even get to any intellectual level, you're going to have people in the United States of America who are considered themselves, they're still in this paradigm, this false paradigm of political alignment, right? They're staunch Democrats, staunch Republicans. I will tell you, if you're viewing this country from afar, we are extremely, extremely red in this country. The only illusion that there's a lot of blue is that the press controls the blue perception. So let's say that, 10 to 100 people are arrested for the colluding efforts to sell out our country through a pay-for-play model. Now, it could be that 30 people are arrested for the illegal crimes of selling out our country in particular. But there could be another 70 people related to the Clinton Foundation that committed, felonies, international felonies, money laundering felonies. I mean, just you name it. They're not involved with the Uranium One sale, but they're involved with transferring money from one account to another when there are policies against such behaviors. We don't know. And that comes out in the press. Let's just say 100 people get arrested for all of these Fusion One dossier things, Uranium One. Maybe even we throw in some war crimes. The way that Gaddafi was murdered. The way that his gold and silver was stolen and sent to Europe. The way that his guns were laundered to ISIS. Maybe even the formation and support of ISIS. McCain is long gone, people. He's going to just curl up and die. He's nearly there. It's interesting because he's a Republican. So both sides will be in shock a little bit. I think, unfortunately, the Democrats are going to take the biggest hit. And by say Democrats, I mean the delusional few that are still stuck in that party. But what happens in a little tiny Oklahoma community, let's just say, when the neighbor across the street, well, put it this way, almost all the neighbors in that street are red, and there's a blue family there. Maybe a family that supported Hillary Clinton during an election, put a Hillary sign out on their yard, And that pissed off everyone in the street. But we didn't have any cue when that sign was out there. And still to this day, let's just say most of that community is still completely in the dark because they do believe in just left-right paradigms. But they remember that one family that had to put a Hillary sign out there. I mean, if you're awake to Hillary's deeds, then you see her for what she is. It's like the movie They Live. You put the glasses on and you see Hillary. Okay? I find that on average, women in the Midwest like their men to be strong, to take charge, and therefore they don't have any problem with Donald Trump being that kind of guy. So there's a little bit of awkwardness, right? Now when you're coming in and out of your houses, you see each other. Maybe there's one neighbor that looks over and goes, "We got you. We got your scumbags." And she goes, "Well," or he goes, "Well, we got one of yours too, you know." "I know, but he was working for your team the whole time. He's always been a scumbag. He's our one bad guy. We got dozens and dozens of yours. Out of 100, 90 are yours. 10 are ours. Or 10 are just ambivalent. They're just business people, whatever, right?" But according to Q, and I think that we now have overwhelming proof that at least one president of the United States and one first lady has visited Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Island. It's a matter of public record because wherever Air Force One flies, wherever the security detail flies, it's recorded in world history because American citizens are paying for it. For instance, if I have a private company and I have X number of dollars in the bank and I make X number of dollars per year and I'm paying employee this, I pay myself that, you can never find out because it's a private company. That's what that word means in that jurisdiction of knowledge. But if I take my company public on the New York Stock Exchange and I'm a public company, that word means that now, because I buy or sell and buy my own shares of stock, okay, you have to, as a matter of regulation from the SEC, you have to publicly publish all of your data about your company. So you can immediately find out what someone makes. You want to find out what the CEO of Disney makes? You can go look it up. You want to find out what the janitor makes? You can go look it up. You have to. You have to be able to find this information. So we know that trips were made. We know that Jeffrey Epstein was charged with, I believe, either right on the button, 40 counts or very close to 40 counts of child trafficking, human trafficking, child abuse as an owner of this island. I was told that he was pardoned by Bill Clinton. I haven't read that myself, but whatever he did, I know that he only got charged for one account. There's a rumor put out by Q that the island of Lolita, which has this little Masonic temple on it, in the last Google Maps photograph, and why this is photographed in Google Maps, I don't know, right? Who gives a shit about a weird remote island unless it's something special to people? The way that it worked is if you looked at the island, it's just beautiful on top. Very little real estate on top of the island. The whole thing exists underground in tunnels. Meaning, if you went there and you got off your plane, there's no place for you to stay above ground. They have like a casino down below. A bunch of rooms. And all those tunnels have been filled in over the last 3 or 4 months at the tune of, I believe, $28 million is the claim, by Jeffrey Epstein himself. Shortly after that, there's a rumor that the island has been bombed. Like as in carpet bombed. Maybe not from the sky. May simply be, you know, Bill Murray from Caddyshack digging a bunch of gopher holes and putting, you know, C4 in there. But he's tried to blow up all of his evidence. But because every single room was videotaped, and because cell phones exist all over the place, where people take little sub-movies of what they're doing because they believe it is, they're completely untouchable. That's part of the euphoria of saying, "My God, I have risen to the absolute peak of the world's power structure. I can do horrible things to children, and I will never be caught because we're all at the top and we're all doing the same thing." Isn't this wonderful? I almost think that it's less about hurting the children and more about just doing something horrible to prove to yourself that you're powerful. But the problem is they did hurt kids, right? Bill Clinton is showing up with all these pictures of these women. These girls, excuse me. Not women. Girls. In one case, a girl shows up with Prince Andrew. Then she shows up with Bill Clinton. Then she shows up with Eminem, the rapper. She's a pet and she is tossed around. There's something about men of power when it comes to women. I suppose it goes the other way too, but we don't get the opportunity to do this very often. It's intoxicating. You are so incredible. I will do anything for you, right? It's the whole groupie thing with rock stars, right? I see you on stage. I see your talent. You move my soul. You move a crowd of 20,000 people. I will do anything for you. I'll have your children. I'll just be your sex slave. I'll just be your slave. We've seen it. I've seen it personally. I've dealt with these women from my friends, getting them away from my friends. It's crazy. What Donald Trump was trying to say was that even at the executive level, they'll let you touch them in places and they like it. For them, it's like, oh my God, I was touched. You know, Mick Jagger grabbed a girl in the pussy. A lot of girls from his era would go, oh my God, he touched my thing. I'm not even going to wash myself, right? It was so awesome. It's kind of creepy when an older billionaire says that because he's not a rock star. But, you know, we've been looking the other way our whole lives. You know, the average rock star at the peak of their, at least the old rock stars, at the peak of their career were sleeping with 2 to 4 girls a day. I've had a whole group of guys, had one guy say that in a group of guys, in a room full of group of guys who were at that level. And I was like, oh, come on. That's a lot. And these guys looked at me and went, it ain't even a lot. There's guys who did even more than that on a daily basis, right? Will Chamberlain worked his ass off to get to his 10,000 women, right? He's a basketball player, for Christ's sake. You don't think that guy grabbed a bunch of girls in the pussy? No, he got to run around exhibitioning a book claiming to have slept with 10,000 women, and all the people that are so appalled at Donald Trump's mere admission that this relationship exists when you're a billionaire. He's the bad guy. I'm willing to bet he's way under 10,000. And Will Chamberlain's like getting a number one bestseller. Because all the girls want that 50 Shades of Will Chamberlain. Isn't it funny how these double standards exist all over the world? They rarely exist in smoke lounges, let me tell you. But it's okay, to get back on point, we've got this other bottleneck, this other moment in time that is going to be cataclysmic for the consciousness of several people around the world. Not the majority, I think. I don't know. You know, the majority of the world isn't plugged into what's going on in America. Thank God. I don't blame them. You know, if this whole thing goes down in America, and all the tribes of Africa find out about this 1,000 years from now, good for them. But there's going to be a lot in the first world countries. They're going to be shocked. Let's go back to that Oklahoma neighborhood. Now, what's going to happen, according to Q, is that the sexual charges are going to be the second phase of the charges and the tribunals against these individuals. Now, how they're actually going to logistically arrange this, I'm not sure. I'm going to share something on this show that goes a little darker than I normally go, because I think it's important that at least this audience, you, become aware of this. If you're not aware of this, I think this is something that really came to light since last time I made that Q episode. And it has to do with one former senator, Anthony Weiner, who got caught sending dick pics to a 15-year-old girl who's married to a woman whose cover name is Huma Abedin, who for the majority of her public life has been seen at the side of Hillary Clinton, not with her husband. They're only together when there's a something to defend in the press. Bit like a lot of these royal families in Europe that get caught doing things, like the prince or the king gets caught touching a little boy or having sex with some transvestite in a car, and then they pull their whole family together for a little press conference, and then they have this very awkward kiss. If you want to see a beautiful parody of this, go watch the first two seasons, the only two seasons of a show called Little Britain. They did a third season in America, which is also pretty good, but that comedy crew knew that this was going on and parodied it. The royal family loves that because then it takes it out of reality and puts it into a comic parody, and no one can easily recognize which one is real and which one's false. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, wasn't that a comedy show? I don't think that actually really happened. That kind of shit. But he's busted, and a laptop gets seized. And on that laptop, the first big press story was that most of the top secret emails that were sent from Hillary Clinton's illegal server to commit crimes to sell out the United States of America to probably the Muslim Brotherhood through her girlfriend Abedin. If you think this stuff is not true, boy, you're in for a big surprise, man. Turns out her name is different, and she's part of this brotherhood, and this brotherhood has published on the internet all of their plans to take over America and erase Western culture. Now, some of us in Western culture would love to have what drives TMZ erased from our culture as well. So who knows exactly what they're focusing on? But obviously, the majority of all first world countries have peaceful, wonderful people that regardless of their religion, they're not trying to hurt anybody else. But you have these liberal agendas that go through movie and television, radio, rock and roll, whatever. And yeah, we've lost our minds worshiping the most acidic things on planet, the most self-destructive formulas, right? But on this laptop, some of you know where I'm going, the reports are this, and this is where it gets sort of tough, and you could roll your eyes and say, well, you don't know, and all this other stuff, and technically speaking, you might be able to pin me down. And before I even recall what I have heard, okay, and I believe validated in enough channels that we need to be concerned that this might be true. Okay, that's kind of my peak position on this. Under no circumstances is what I'm about to tell you something that makes me thrilled to death that someone I don't like, someone for other reasons I don't like them, would be going down even harder and faster than the crimes that they've already committed. I don't need these individuals involved in this to have committed any other crimes than the ones I know about, the ones that have actually been proven, to be completely satisfied with their incarceration. But apparently, the way the story goes is that half a dozen individuals in the New York Police Department who are looking through this computer of his, they find, supposedly, allegedly, dozens and dozens of videos of underage sex going on. Yeah, what we would call in this country, in a legal realm, child pornography. Now, there's a distinction. You know, there's above 13 and above. This is how Pizzagate works, right? If you're 13 and above, I believe you're called a hot dog and a piece of pizza. And if you're 13 or 12 and below or whatever, you're, I think, a hamburger and a cheese pizza. Cheese slice or whatever. Horrible how these people do this. So you have some, supposedly some videos, and God knows that these individuals were consenting to this, even in their delusional young minds. Who knows? I'm sure you could grab a child and convince them to do things that they shouldn't be doing, and so you see smiles on their face in the video, but as an adult, you're like, holy shit, this should never be going on. You know, adults with kids. So apparently the claim is that the police officers started running into this, the detectives started running into these videos, and it's something that they've seen before. I don't know if they were shocked to see that one, or those videos. But they continue to push through the videos and push through the videos until one video. And I'm actually going to say, I hope this isn't true, to be honest. I definitely hope this isn't true. We don't need this information to do what we need to do to reset this planet. But supposedly, and I'm not going to go into massive detail, but there's a video where Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton are having a sexual encounter with a young girl. And they are forcing her to do things to them. And then at one point it turns into a satanic ritual whereby they, I don't know how to put this into words metaphorically, they did things to this child which resulted in her death that would make Hannibal Lecter look like Willy Wonka. And I mean that literally. They engaged in rituals that have been seen in the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre without the chainsaw. The child passes away. And apparently, these two were out of their minds. I don't know if they were on drugs. But here's how the news came out to the public, or to the back channel public, right? And one of the reasons why I believe there's a big chance that this is true is that, you know, there's a tactic of disinformation against someone that you hate. Like I said, Dick Cheney admitted in a History Channel episode that they were making up stories about Saddam Hussein boiling people in oil and torturing them as he sat, watched, and laughed. Making up stories about his children killing people in closets and saying, can I have more bullets because I want to keep shooting this person. So they do make up things like that. But usually the people that make up things like that are evil people who have done things like that, or the equivalent things like that. But the people going after these individuals today aren't those kind of people. They are fighting the deception of the universe. And in order to fight deception, you may put out a little bit of bob and weave bait to get people to do things, but you're not creating more horrific lies to fight horrific lies. And this would be, I'll put it this way. If we ever find out this isn't true and that people actually in the administration that is going to be dealing with this, if they were responsible in any way, shape, or form of creating this rumor, then I will put on record I would support their incarceration as well. Because this is horrific. But the detectives that saw this immediately got sick, cried, and many of them are under psychiatric care to this day. When these kind of things happen and the evidence is linked to a political official, it goes straight to the government in terms of reporting it. You don't just walk out and have a press conference at the NYPD and tell the world what you found, because you're dealing with heads of state. There's an image system you have to control so people have faith in the country. And you're just dealing with a higher court than your New York court. Now, they could go down to the lower court and try to try this, but it'll get immediately escalated up because it needs to be escalated up. In my 48 years of life, I'm unaware of any video of this type ever being caught. I'm sure they exist. These sickos are sickos. They want a relic. They want to savor the moment. They want to see this. But now here's the rub about this this video and the other videos. It was on his computer in a folder entitled Insurance. I got her, is what Anthony Weiner's thinking. No one can touch me, so I'm going to text my naked body to minors. Because, man, what if that's the only thing he did? When we heard about that, we were like a gross, creepy fucking guy. He's definitely in a felony level arena. If he gets put in jail and they tell the other inmates that he messed around with a kid, they'll go kill him. If he's not in isolation his whole life. Didn't protect Jeffrey Dahmer, did it? But now you have this hydrogen bomb of a video that eclipses anything the public has ever been made aware of in world history, right? I'm going to tell you, all of those stories they tell you about human sacrificing out of the primitive savage worlds, it pales in comparison to what they supposedly saw in this video. So the way it gets leaked out is that the individuals that are traumatized, people in the precinct that see the reaction of these individuals, and they get the sort of abbreviated version as people are putting their guts back inside, it starts spreading. This video exists. It's so bad that unlike most situations where people want to see a snuff film because it'll just put this little feather in their intellectual cap of how much they're, how hard they are or whatever, nobody wants to see this thing. Apparently, the Department of Justice moved in and seized the copy of the video, did what they could to erase any copies of the video, such that this will not be randomly leaked on the internet. I will tell you this, there are people, well, I'll tell you this, there's, I think the overall community that has been dealing with this sort of satanic cult of individuals, we would like to see proof of this video in the form of non-suffering pictures, frames of the video that have advanced from maybe the beginning where faces are identified a little deeper in, things obstructed from the video where we don't need to see things, but just let's confirm the identity of these individuals. I don't know a single fucking soul that wants to see the second half of the video as the child begins to be mutilated. But we want to go to bed at night thinking we've seen it. But the reality is this, and this is my advice. Let other people see it who you can trust. And just trust them and don't infect your brain with this, because there are things that you can't unsee. And most of you have gone out and looked at some crazy beheading videos or whatever. You know what I'm saying. There's things you never want to have seen. You don't need to have seen them. You don't need to PTSD yourself from your desktop computer, right? Who knows where this took place? I'm assuming that the reported visitation of Hillary Clinton to Lolita Island at least 5 times, if not half a dozen times. And again, these numbers come out and we memorize them, but you know, we haven't seen the actual paperwork to say, oh, well, that's definitely true. But when you see a bunch of intelligence agents that are now trying to clean up the world say that they've seen the proof, and there's a bunch of them, and they don't know each other, you're kind of going, okay, well, it seems that people that are fairly reputable who haven't engaged in anything nefarious up to date are all in agreement, and they're angry that this occurred, right? So let's go back to our model of Oklahoma. I pick Oklahoma because it's a very red state. And I know for a fact that there are blue people in every state that's red. Oklahoma is also very unique in that it's a very, at least currently as a recording of this video, very pro-Second Amendment. But let's say these other charges come down, that the public is only communicated that they're human trafficking charges. But you know how it goes. Your red prepper is out there reading every single Q post that exists. Your red prepper already to this day knows about this video. But they're smart, and they're reserved, and they hold back, and they're like, okay, these are just rumors that this video exists. This is just rumors that Hillary and Huma Abedin went over to this other side. We don't really need that again to incarcerate them for the rest of their lives if the current claims of their selling out the country are true. Okay. A conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America by means of infiltration. But here's what I'm worried about. We have to find a way to keep a lid on ourselves and our fellow citizens if this second phase of exposure to human trafficking / child trafficking / child abuse and potentially murder of children for various rituals starts to be tried in Gitmo and military tribunals. If that's real, and if that happens, it is going to be probably one of the toughest moments in history to keep quiet. But what happens in that little neighborhood when you got a blue citizen who had a Hillary sign not more than 2 years ago in their yard, and a whole neighborhood full of red citizens with children, gun owners. This drops, these people disappear. We're kind of in the dark, as far as mass media, we're in the dark. We know that military tribunals are going on for charges related to human trafficking. The backstory is that the charges involve events that are so horrific that we can't see them. But Q has already told us what's in a lot of this. And it's not just Q, it's the New York Police Department, the friends, the family members, people who saw this reaction to this video. And that's just one video, and we know that if there's one video of two women doing this to a child, there must be hundreds of these. Lolita Island just recently stopped taking customers, okay? And what Jeffrey Epstein did, according to all of the claims, is that he recorded everyone doing everything for his insurance. When he was charged with the 40 counts of human trafficking, he got 39 of them dismissed because he had insurance. He owned the highest politicians in the world. Royal family members went to his island to do these things. It's a matter of public record. Because until you know what the island was doing, it's just an island, of course. Of course they go to the Bahamas and Cancun. Of course. It's a beautiful place. The water's crystal clear. It's beautiful. Not this place. So now we have to combine a few things together. We have a bunch of people will be going through what's called the Kubler-Ross effect, the phases: anger, denial, negotiation, and acceptance. I'm going to put a lot of money down that people never get. So a lot of blue people are never going to get to the final stage. They're going to be angry that their heroes aren't heroes, that they've wasted their entire lives chasing criminals as heroes. When the claims come down that their heroes have done the most unspeakable thing on planet Earth, denial will be so palpable and so intense that as citizens on the outside who have studied this and gone through this already over the course of maybe 20 years, we've had a long time to go through those phases, right? We've had years and months and whatever we needed, we had, because no one was ever charging anyone with this. The proof of this occurring was never really there. But now what we're going to do as citizens is we're going to expect that family that's blue to go through this Kubler-Ross effect extremely fast, almost like overnight. You see, we caught her. We caught them. We caught a bunch of people. A bunch of people arrested. Royal family members who have laws that prohibit their incarceration are now incarcerated. The royal families around the world fell because of this, because they're all linked to this. Jimmy Savile and his whole everlasting supply of children to royal families. There was a person in parliament that was charged with like 500 plus accounts of child molestation. What did the British government do? They assigned his sister to oversee her brother's deeds, and the case was dismissed. All right. Telling you, man, if we take care of ours, Britain, you got to take care of yours. All right, Gitmo's got a lot of room. Make your own Gitmo. But now let's say that that blue family's not doing too well. They're destroyed. That denial phase is probably going to make a few blue people go crazy, literally. Some people might get suicidal. But what I'm concerned about is not only that, because good people are going to potentially go nuts. But when they're in that denial phase, they may walk out their front door. And when the neighbor is washing their car, mowing the lawn, standing there, whatever, getting the groceries out of their car, and they look over at the blue family and they're like, "So, we finally caught you. We finally caught you and your kind for what you and your kind are. It's a miscalculation. It's a misclassification." Hopefully people have enough intellectual capacity not to do this, but caught up in the moment of finding out this information about this video, you may not have rational human beings on either side of the fence, right? My concern is this. if the blue person shouts across the street something to the effect that, well, that's just your opinion, man. I don't think any of that's true. I think this is just a witch hunt. And they've made up this horrible thing and dot, dot, dot. And that person starts trying to write the horrible killer a blank check in front of a person who has clear eyes because they've had many years to digest this. They've went out and done all of the research, found all the photographs of these poor kids with all these politicians, with all these bankers. And they've done all the research for all of the people that are being busted for pedophilia right now. There are dozens and dozens of people globally that are getting busted for pedophilia right now. As of April of 2018. People they thought never would go down are going down, baby. They've already gone down. We haven't seen Tony Podesta in a while. Okay? This is big. This is huge. But what happens if you believe this stuff is true? Let alone it being true. And you got a person across the street that's writing a blank check to a murderer, a molester, a person, they're writing a blank check to a person who has killed a child in a satanic sexual ritual. And that's just the first phase of that video, okay? And they think they've got one of those people, one of those evil satanic people in their neighborhood. They're gun owners. Their parents, and there's a shit ton of them on that street. In fact, finding another blue person is actually tough in the Midwest in some areas. What's going to happen to that blue person? There won't be any time, in my opinion, for the next two phases, which is negotiation and acceptance. My fear is that some people might take action. And a sort of anarchy street justice might become an epidemic. So what does a responsible intellectual society do? Well, we start preparing all of our folks that are in the belief hemisphere of this horrible situation in history. We have to get us all together and say, look, this is never going to happen, of course, but that's why I'm making this video, so maybe we can subdue the response just a little bit. And I'm hoping that the press helps, okay, but they have been a bunch of fucking assholes this entire time, right? The mass media almost entirely has contributed to the propagation of this suffering. The children that scream in the night and die are being covered up by mass media around the world because it's owned by a lot of these folks that are engaged in this. And, you know, it's hard to say these things on air, which is why I don't think it will be said on air in any mass media methodology, right? We have to develop a platform. Almost, let me give you an analogy, okay? If you had and this actually happened in Ventura, California, in one way or the other. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen as much as I'm going to make this on point here. I had a buddy of mine, Kyle, as a matter of fact, who hosted MKUltra Radio with me. When I first met him, he lived in Ventura County. I don't know if he lived in Ventura proper, if it was Oxnard. But there was a neighborhood that they found that they had toxic waste underneath all the homes. It's a bit like Poltergeist, but instead of burying... building homes on top of an Indian burial ground with all the actual bodies still down there, and they just moved the tombstones. They use this land to bury a bunch of toxic stuff, and then later on, people were getting sick from the water. They did some ground tests and found out, oh my God, they zoned this for residential after zoning it for toxic storage. And when I went to his house first time, it was in 1989, all the homes in his neighborhood had skull and crossbones painted on them by the residents. A lot of protests. They painted on their own homes going, I'm fucked. I bought this house and now I'm losing everything and I need you to help me sue the shit out of the company that did this. And I believe everyone got some money out of that. He was just renting a room at the time. That kind of woke up my mind. But now think about, there's a toxic spill. A train turns over, happens all the time, right? Way too often. And a bunch of gas goes into a neighborhood. And you now have to detox everyone before you can start telling them what happened. It doesn't matter what happened. I need to spray you down and get you cleaned up. Get you in the hospital. Get your blood test. Make sure you're not going to die. The people that are going to be on the other side of this coin, that are aligned foolishly with the blue, with the Democrats, right? And again, there's some Republicans doing this too in our country. But unfortunately, and I think it's unfortunate. Maybe it's fortunate that we only have one party that needs to be cleaned out. It's going to not exist for decades, in my opinion. They actually need time to detox. They actually need time to go through their full PTSD. And what if you're 70 years old or something? You're indoctrinated. You still believe Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. You think we went to the moon. You know nothing about fractional reserve banking. You know nothing about the Rothschilds. Nothing. You're a total official news. You think the New Yorker prints nothing but great factual historical information. Bias articles, well, they're absolutely unbiased and objective. There may not be enough years in these people's lives or brain cells between their ears to ever get through the denial phase. And then what do you do if this is your neighborhood and your neighborhood's built out of a bunch of young progressive couples that they themselves were duped? They believed that everything was good. Maybe even someone's wife was Democrat and the husband was Republican. And they argued over it for 2 years before this all went down. And the wife said, you know, in a very nice way, hey, if my party is ever accused of this and you can provide sufficient evidence that my party did this, then I will turn. And he throws down all the Lolita Island stuff, links all the pedophile arrests to this party, shows the collusion for selling uranium and fake dossiers and, you know, all this stuff, supporting ISIS, building ISIS, creating ISIS. And the wife goes, Jesus Christ, I can't believe I fell for this. You know, my party actually stands for good things, but the party itself doesn't seem to honor any of this. You know, for those of you who are Mexican, you're the taco truck voters, right? That's what they called you in the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, or committee, excuse me. Yeah, lots of love there, right? If you're black in America, you just had a president for 8 years. Maxine Waters, one of the biggest fucking colluders of this entire cabal. She's not related to any of this horrific sacrificial stuff that I know of, but she's now running around black neighborhoods all over America, promising them if they impeach Trump that she's going to go get them reparations, the old slave reparations, 40 acres and a mule reparation, right? Which means a big paycheck. Okay, let's rewind for 1 second. You have a black senator going into black neighborhoods promising them reparations when they just had a black president for 8 years. And she was an acting senator during those 8 years. Did they ever bring up reparations when the black president was in the office? No. She's selling them a line of bullshit. She's actually walked in. If you ever see Maxine Waters and you're black, she's trying to fuck your entire race to give her and her white colleagues all this privilege to continue hiding these pedophiles, to continue hiding all of these cabals against the United States of America, promising you reparations, when if they were ever going to do that, it would have been different. It's atrocious. And yeah, the Red probably have their own version of something like that, but it's really huge right now. So how do we create a methodology to deal with this? Because it's going to be huge. And it's going to be dangerous. People have been duped. They've been duped for decades. They've been duped for centuries, right? We can't just haul everyone out in the streets and do some street justice simply because for the rest of their lives, they're never going to believe the truth. You could probably, like when I interviewed Bart Sibrel, I asked him a very poignant question. For those of you who missed the interview, he's the gentleman that made a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. One of the questions I asked him was, do you think the people who watch the moon landings on television have a problem ever believing it was a hoax? And he said, yes. I talked to a professor who told me that even if I showed him a video of a astronaut completely confessing on television and crying that they didn't go to the moon, that he still would believe that they went and that that astronaut merely has lost his mind. That is denial. That is a denial that will never enter negotiation, never enter acceptance. And that's just the moon mission, man. When you wake up to 9/11 and you start showing videos that prove that bombs were going off inside the building prior to it falling down, Building 7 having its central column busted, falling at free fall. I've shown it to people and they've said, well, that's older people, right, in their 60s. And they went, oh, that's probably just that computer stuff. I said, look, I know computer stuff. That's what I do. My friends who do this all day, the CG stuff you see on television and movies, the best in the world, know this is absolutely authentic footage. Well, I'm just going to go with my story because I don't have to deal with this. All right. Now, technically speaking, a lot of these people don't have to deal with this. They're not part of the solution. Even if they wanted to be a part of the solution, the only thing they could possibly do to be a part of the solution would be to assist the propagation of truth, right? So one of the things that we've been following, I don't talk about it on this show at all, but one of the things that's kind of keeps surfacing like a dolphin coming up for air is this notion that there are billionaires out there. There's actually Nazi billionaires pretending to be Jews. It's really funny, at least one of them. And he is trying to finance the overthrow of this country. He is trying to create civil war in this country. And I'm going to warn you that if this information ever happens, and it needs to happen, these people have to go to jail. But if this information ever starts proliferating the minds of normal citizens, there might be, I would say, metaphorical lynchings, and there might be actual physical lynchings of people that can't go through the Kubler-Ross process of getting to acceptance either in their lifetime or quick enough for those that want to lynch, those who are angry that this ever occurred, right? Being dragged in the street and having almost the same sort of crime happening at their hand, right? I talked about scapegoating about 4 episodes ago. Now, scapegoating is something that is seen all the time, right? The Texas bomber, the Austin, Texas bomber. Now, I was in Austin when this stuff was going on, believe it or not, on business. They show you the individual that blew himself up, quote unquote, in a car that ended the Austin bombing spree. And then they showed you the surveillance footage of the supposed Austin bomber delivering packages to some mail place in Austin. For those of you who are over 30, okay, who can look at something and go, wait a minute. The kid that blew himself up in the car is some scrawny white kid. And I mean scrawny. You can look at his face, unless they're showing you a picture of him when he's 14, which that may be what they did. The picture we saw, he was a scrawny kid. Which means if you sit him up in front of you, he has no muscles, he has no broad shoulders, he doesn't have, you know, a chest that's made out of like UFC material, right? But the guy that came in with a hat delivering the packages, which I believe he came in with a white cap, isn't that kind of funny? It's this telltale sign of a alphabet network that does things. The Boston kids had white hats, plus the other two guys we think actually dropped those ordinance in Boston. But the kid that delivered the packages is obviously a very muscular white guy. Very muscular. He's got guns. He's got a chest. So unless, again, we were shown the wrong picture or a dated photograph, which I don't know why in this modern age with everyone having Facebook posts. Again, this guy, we drew from his current Facebook to find all these photographs because supposedly he posted a manifesto, right? Okay. But what did that do to the Austin citizens? I saw it. I had conversations with them, and I said, do you feel better now that this guy is caught? oh yeah, my God, you know, it was really getting really close to my neighborhood or my mom's neighborhood or my sister's neighborhood. A patsy is a psychological tool to satiate the public. We got them. The nightmare is over, right? Now, maybe in the background, what they did was find the guy who was really doing it. Why this kid blows himself up in a car, who the fuck knows? Maybe he really didn't. Who knows? Maybe it is all the same guy. I don't know. I just know that when I was sitting with a bunch of grown adults and we were looking at the reports coming in through the MSM, we're all looking at each other like, did that look like the same guy to you? And everyone's like, hell no, right? And just to put a finer point on that, as you get older, especially as a man, you can be a very scrawny 21-year-old. And then by the time you're 40, you've got the barrel chest that makes you look formidable, right? Threatening. You're thick. It's not because you're fat. It's just because your bones kept growing in their overall diameter and density. And you manage to, I don't know, maybe get a job where you lift something or you do weights. You go to the gym as you get older. One of my best friends in the world who passed away of cancer about 20 years ago, they kept telling me that he was really scrawny. And he's this big barrel-chested, just badass dude, like a fucking biker kind of guy. And I was like, really? And they brought out the wedding photographs, and sure enough, this kid looked like the meekest kid. He actually grew up in Huntington Beach, as a matter of fact. I'm from Kansas, so that's why it's weird. He was living in my hometown, now I'm living in his hometown. So that happens. And so in the mind of an adult, we recognize age on many levels, right? But the big question I'm asking today is, we need to start figuring out what we're going to do as the accusers of these people in both phase one, where the crimes are palatable. We can talk about it at the kitchen table. And if someone denies it, well, you know, you're not so pissed off because it's like, you know, someone was probably defending Enron to this day, right? Now, those guys just, it was just a bad financial. They had no idea they were going to screw their employees, and probably one asshole like that still out there, right? But if this phase two happens, and I think it will happen, and it's based on evidence that's not well known, it's barely known by anyone. In fact, if we never ever see the evidence, then here we are living on hearsay and whatever. You know, every rumor that's ever been told about these ritualistic abusers might get validated when maybe some of it's not even true. Or maybe more is true than we've ever imagined, right? For those of you who are going to believe this and who already believe this and you believe you've seen some substantial evidence, and I'm right there with you, we have to be the bigger human being. We have to give people room to be deluded for their entire lives. Now, here's why you can do that. This is how I'm going to end this episode. Every one of us have family members that are going to do this. They're going to refuse to believe the mountains of evidence that this has occurred. What if we go to Lolita Island and the whole place is blown up? What if Q doesn't release the actual acts, but he releases all the surveillance footage? He shows a grown adult going in a room with a child and closing the door. He doesn't show you what happens inside, but he shows you what never comes out. The kid. The adult comes out, but the kid never comes out. And some weird cleanup crew goes in after that. And maybe a body bag comes out. You didn't see what happened, but you saw what happened. You know what I'm saying? Not everyone that's going to have a hard time believing the actual facts in front of their eyes are bad people. I'm going to suggest that 99% of the normal citizens of the world are not bad people. It doesn't mean they're going to be capable of ingesting and processing this information again in their lifetime. The younger you are, the more years you have to go through those Kubler-Ross effects. I know you feel me, but I gotta put this out there. When you see someone on a routine basis, man, imagine if it's your spouse, man. Oof, that's gotta be tough, man. I think there'll be divorce filings over the next 5 years after this happens, because you're going to have spouses that refuse to believe it. And if the other spouse is big enough not to do something silly, they're going to at least separate. I can't be with someone who would write these people blank checks. I can't be with someone that can look at proof of something happening and then you simply say it didn't happen. Because if this were to ever happen in our household, you're going to be that parent that allows the other parent to abuse the child. That happens all the time, right? Scapegoating is what would be happening. That's what we're going to call this sort of reaction. We just have to remember that the reason why they can't process this information is because they are good people. They cannot imagine what you are telling them. You could show them the videos and they can't process the information. Their brain won't allow it, because if they did, their reaction to this is more horrific than your reaction. So the anger that you feel in your soul, if you were to believe all or any of this is true, theirs would be 10 times, 100 times more powerful and more insane. And so instead of seeing them lose their lives to acceptance, an insanity of acceptance, it's best that we keep them in this world sane. And if you can, and I'm afraid this will be out of control if this ever happens, but we don't want to push this into the face of people in some cases, right? And part of it is to say, the argument I think that people will have inside their souls who know this to be true or believe this to be true, let's put it that way, is that if I let you continue to be in denial, then you're exactly the kind of person that will allow this to happen again. And you'd be right. You'd be right. But at the same, on the same level, okay, we have to take a step back and make sure that we actually have facts before we have such a definitive opinion. Now, what's going to be rough is if, again, one of these events is proven beyond the shadow of a doubt without exposing us to the actual event itself. My fear is that this video is ever leaked, which I actually believe there's a high likelihood it will never be leaked unless someone leaked it out of the New York Police Department. I keep harping on that one, but there's hundreds of others. It may only be leaked if we find that the Kubler-Ross is having a problem in these people. Like, okay, they need to see something. Let's show them something. Get these people over the hump, because we can't have this repeat. So some methodology, like I said, is released, right? It still may never convince people. And, you know, I'll just tell you about that moment in my life I'll bring up to you, which is, you know, when I was 21, I had two guys from NASA tell me we didn't go to the moon. Not just two guys, but two guys that were on the Mars mission, two guys that had resigned because it was bullshit. Now, NASA was actually closing down in the Bay Area, so there was a need to move to another place in the world to keep their job, and it's probably what contributed a little bit. But the guy telling me this, who'd worked there for 15 years, he told me outright that he quit because of the information. Because he was told he can get a paycheck for the rest of his life. Now, then he proceeds to tell me all of the methodologies, the basic methodologies of why we couldn't go. And I'm sitting across the table, probably at 21, I was ingesting more scientific information, aerospace information, all forms of science that relate to this being possible or not possible. I was at the peak of my public, you know, I was consuming, like, you know, mass media versions of pop science, of course, right? Believing everything that I'm told. He's telling me across the table, and I don't think he's lying to me. That's the weird thing. I didn't think either one of these guys were lying. I was sitting there going, wow, that's interesting. Well, that's interesting. But after that meeting, I never thought about it again. I never thought about it again. I would go home to my uncle in Kansas, and he'd be watching some big, you know, two-hour special on the fact that it might have been a hoax, and I'm still sitting there at ground zero. I didn't know, like, I hadn't been told this. And then when Bart Sibrel made his movie, he gave us the full story with the visual proof that they did fake it, and then it clicked 15 years later. So it took me 15 years to Kubler-Ross the moon hoax with empirical evidence from people that were there. Not in 69, but they were there at NASA in the mid-80s getting told this. And that's not a horrific lie. I mean, it's not great. People got murdered as a result of that hoax, but compared to this stuff, it's nothing. And yours truly took a long time to process the information. But what if this was infuriating to society, and I'm sitting there at that lunch table talking to these guys, and the very next thing is, well, do you believe us? And if you don't believe us, we're going to lynch you. And I'm like, what? I don't even know. I don't even know what would have happened. I know you feel me. Boy, do we have a lot of growing up to do on our shift, don't we? Nobody ever wants this kind of stuff to happen on their life, during their lifetime, right? And it's part of the problem of why we have a bunch of people over 65, let's say, who are never going to accept this. And why would they? They've lived through all these conspiracies and believed all the official stories. And for the most part, this lying mass media, this fake news construct that's been in existence since the mid-50s in America, I mean, it's been in existence in journalism since the Hearsts came into power, yellow journalism, and in some form before that, word of mouth, disinformation, in the centuries preceding that, they've been able to hang on to their false world for a really, really long time. And let's say that you believe that you're within 10 years of your death. You're in your 70s somewhere, and you think, well, I can feel my body giving up or whatever. They believe that, let's just say. Maybe they do have a condition that's going to be hard to survive. And now all their heroes are destroyed. The very paradigm that they have lived, that Luke, I'm your father moment, or no, I'm your father moment, right? Where you go back in your brain and you reassess Star Wars, you reassess everything that happened, Empire Strikes Back. It all means something different because Darth Vader is Luke's father now. It's huge, right? It's a kaboom. That's why that movie is so famous, why that line was so famous. Well, when you're young watching that movie, and I was 7 years old, or I guess by the time that movie came out, I was 10, it was awesome. The best writing ever happened in a sci-fi movie, right? But man, if I was 70 and it's not a movie, it's reality. You know, you technically could have a heart attack and die hearing this information if the moment you believed it, you couldn't deal with it. For those of you who are eager for things to start occurring, I'm going to suggest that those in charge of this entire operation on the back end have gone through this simulation, this scenario, right? They have scenarios they conduct in rooms to figure out how things might go. They play this whole thing out. They go through the psychological impact, the financial impact of these changes, of these reveals. You know, they tell us all the time that if we learn that there are aliens, right? If UFOs are real and aliens are talking to us, and S4 and Area 51 or Devil's Tower or whatever, that society would panic and go crazy. And most of us are at this point going, come on. There's not a human on Earth that hasn't seen an alien movie, right? Whether they be cute little aliens or crazy H.R. Giger monsters. We know that that's probably not true. But then someone thinks in the back of their brain, well, I got a grandmother who's 90. Maybe she can't do it, but the overall population can. With this kind of stuff, You got hundreds of millions of people that ain't ready, and you know it for a fact. So I say that last part because I want you to be careful being so excited about telling other people about this information. Oh, let me just shove it down your throat, Mom. Let me shove it down your throat, Dad. Spouse. You have to know this because I went through the horrific realization this was true, and now I'm going to punish you too. Because you believe these people are good people. That's the motivation behind telling them, right? I'm going to suggest you look at them. And if you're at the dinner table, Thanksgiving or Christmas or some other birthday or something, and they go, well, can you believe the silly stuff they're saying? You just smile. Yeah, it's crazy. I suppose if it were true, it would be really bad. Looks like they determined in a court of law that this information actually was true. Let's hope it's not, but if it's true, well, it's not our issue. Let's just have a good life. Pass the mashed potatoes, right? I don't want this stuff to be true. But unfortunately, I believe it is. I might change my mind if things change. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. There is audio, video, a locked Facebook group, and a Patreon page if you're so inclined to donate. What I'm looking forward to is a time when this show doesn't have to have anything acidic in it. That I feel no compelling force to cover any of this stuff, right? Most people who follow Q say this is a revolutionary moment in history, right? It's a good time to be alive. That justice being served has probably been the best show we've ever seen in our lives. Better than any television show, better than any series on Netflix, better than any movie we've ever seen or history that we've ever recalled in a book. I think they're right. But boy, it comes with a price, doesn't it? We're all having fun right now because we're studying Q on our own time. You can hide in your toilet and look at your phone and read the latest Q posts and all the Anons that respond to it and get all excited and you see that information. You're like, oh my God, we got these fuckers. We got them. Now, just as a result of watching this, please just take a little time to think about the other side of the equation when it all goes public. I think it's going to be big and it's going to be tough. That's all I'm going to say. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.